Well, dear friends, it's a real pleasure to be here with you all tonight. My wife and I cherish memories of visiting this assembly on at least two occasions previously. And we thank God for the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. We really do appreciate the loving, gracious interest of the saints of this assembly in the work that we seek to do for the Lord down there on the island of Jamaica. I look forward to sharing a few things concerning that work with you next Thursday evening, God willing, and no doubt showing pictures of Jamaica. If I appear to be somewhat off color tonight, you must understand that I am not all ear. I don't know if you use that expression here in St. Louis. But you see, shortly after midday today, my wife and baby girl left for Jamaica. We had a rough time getting to the airport. However, we thank the Lord for traveling mercies on your slippery highway. I should offer a word of congratulations to you, dear friends, who have braved the stormy weather to be here at the meeting tonight. No doubt there are others who would have come along, but for the inclemency of the weather. Down there in Jamaica, if we ever had anything like this, we are in the tropics. Everything would come to a standstill. In fact, sometimes just a good heavy shower of rain, and our meetings, at least the attendance at our meetings, is affected. Now, for our scripture portion tonight, we would like to read a few verses from the prophecy of Ezekiel, and we will turn first to chapter 1. The prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 1. Beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the 6th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. The last verse of this chapter. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Verse 8 of chapter 2. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. We pray that God will add his blessing to the reading of these verses of his own precious holy word. In recent days, I've been thinking a lot about this dear man, Ezekiel. And I've been very pleased to observe that in many Christian circles, Ezekiel's prophecies are being studied today. In recent times, there seems to be a revival of interest in the prophetic scriptures. And I praise God for those who spend time to read and meditate and study what God has to say concerning these momentous days in which we live. I understand that the late Dr. Andrew Bonar, who was quite a student of prophecy, was once speaking to a group of young folk, and he said to them, I suppose that when you get to glory, you would like to meet some of the dear saints and patriarchs of past dispensations, and maybe you'd like to talk to a man like Ezekiel, wouldn't you? And they all said yes, they agreed. They'd like to meet dear Mr. Ezekiel. He said, but Ezekiel may pose an embarrassing question for some of you, because suppose he were to ask you, how did you enjoy the prophecy that I was inspired to write? How did you enjoy that book? Some of us would be a bit embarrassed because we don't know too much about it. But I trust that the Lord will exercise our hearts to pay keen attention to what God has to say in this particular portion of his precious word. I've been thinking, seeing that Ezekiel was so mightily used of God, so effectively used of God, and seeing that his prophecies occupy a place of prominence in Christian circles today and is demanding the attention of the people of God in several countries of the world, I think especially of chapters 35, 36, 37, 38, 39. These chapters, as we bring them into focus in the light of what is happening, especially in the Middle East, so many of God's dear people are very alert as to events that are taking place, and they have been awakened to the fact that the coming again of Jesus Christ our Lord is not far distant. Now, seeing that God has used this man to such an extent, some of his prophecies have already been fulfilled, some are being fulfilled in the year of our Lord 1972, some await fulfillment. The question in my mind is, how did God prepare him for this precious ministry, this unique ministry? How is he prepared for it? I have a friend who lives on the island of Jamaica. He works with a milk company, and one day his boss called him into the office and made a proposal to him. He said, you know, we're opening up a new factory,
And we think that you would be the fittest person to manage that new factory manager. How about it? And this young man, a brother in the Lord, he replied, well, I haven't had any experience in that type of work. And the boss says, I know you haven't had any experience, but we are willing, the company is willing to send you away. We'll send you to Switzerland for a period of training. He says, fine, I'll go. And within 2 weeks of that interview, he was on his way to Switzerland. After completing a course of training at their main plant in Switzerland, he returns to Jamaica, and he discovers that the factory building is just about complete, and he moves into his new office, his new assignment, and he's doing a good job, I believe, in that new post. He had to be trained. He had to be prepared. He had to be taught. He had to be instructed. And if you and I are to be used of God, if we are to accomplish God's will for the honor and the glory of His name, then we also need preparation, training, instruction. How did Ezekiel get his? In order to understand a little of his background, you'd have to read 2 Kings chapter 24. For the sake of time, we won't turn to the scripture now. But in 2 Kings chapter 24, read of Nebuchadnezzar and his army moving into Jerusalem. And there, they took away captives. Thousands of captives were rudely uprooted from home, from their homeland, from their natural environment, from their accustomed associates, and taken off to a heathen country, taken off to Babylon. There are about 10,000 in all who were removed from Jerusalem to Babylon. And the Bible tells us only the poorest sort of people were left. All the priests, the skilled people, the tradesmen, the qualified people, they were taken away from Jerusalem off to Babylon. Now, Ezekiel was among the captives. He tells us that. He was among the captives by the river of Kebar. How did the other captives react to captivity? In the 137th Psalm, we read of their reaction. For the captives say, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat down. We wept when we remembered Zion. See their reaction? They're heartbroken and they're homesick. We wept when we remembered Zion. Those that carried them away captive required of them mirth. And they said, well, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But they hung their harps on the willows, and they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And in their captivity, we hear them saying, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If Jerusalem is my chief joy, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. You see, they were heartbroken. They were discouraged. They were homesick. By the rivers of Babylon. Now Ezekiel was among the captives. But you know, God dealt in a very strange and peculiar way with this young man. One among 10,000 captives. But God had a special purpose for instructing him, training him, passing him through the school of adversity, in order that he might be prepared for an effective sphere of service for the glory of God. And you know, Ezekiel's service is bearing precious fruit. Thousands of years after his lifetime, because even today we can pick up the volume of sacred scripture and we can enjoy that which is written in this particular portion.
prophecy of Ezekiel.
Now, I want you to observe four experiences he had as God prepared him for service. He tells us, first of all, at the end of verse 1 in chapter 1, he says, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. The heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Before the Lord reveals anything else to any of his servants in any dispensation, he first of all reveals himself. Visions of God. Heavens were opened. Ezekiel says, I saw visions of God. And let me tell you, I do not believe that this particular experience and blessing is reserved for just a few special people. Any of the saints of God who are close to the Lord, walking in the fear of God, can have the same experience. I believe that God delights to open up the windows of heaven and give us a glimpse of himself, a glimpse of his glory. Moses had a similar experience. Isaiah had a similar experience. Daniel, Peter, Paul, John on the Isle of Patmos. He saw the Lord. You know, I often think of the dear Apostle Paul. On one occasion, Barnabas and himself went to Lystra. There they performed a miracle, the healing of an impotent man. And the people of that city brought oxen and garlands to sacrifice to these apostles, but their sacrifices were refused. Shortly afterwards, the people of that city stoned Paul and drew him out of the city. But the next day, we find him very much alive, and we find him in Derby, continuing with his missionary journey. Now, 14 years after that event, Paul, as inspired by the Spirit, he's writing to the Corinthians, and he says to them, I knew a man in Christ over 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. He's referring to what happened to him in Lystra. And then he said that this man was caught up to the third heaven. He heard words which is not lawful for a man to utter. And then he also explained to the Corinthians about the abundance of the revelations that were given to him. See, Paul saw visions of God. The heavens were opened. He was caught up. God made precious revelations of himself to his servant. And he says, because of the abundance of these revelations, there was given to me this messenger of Satan, the thorn in the flesh, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. And I believe with all my heart that God still delights to open up the windows of heaven and give us a glimpse of himself and of his glory. Ezekiel had difficulty in describing what he saw. You'll observe, if you take it in chapter 1, that at least 30 times Ezekiel speaks of the likeness, the appearance. Their feet were straight feet. The sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. At least 30 times he uses this type of expression, trying to describe to us, using things and objects that are common to us, earthly objects, to help us to understand a heavenly vision. And he tells us in the last verse that the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness
of the glory of the Lord. Heavens were open. He saw visions of God. Only God grant that we also will see visions of God.
The average believer comes to a meeting and he sees the preacher. He sees the brethren and the sisters of the fellowship. He sees the visitors who attend. He sees the song leader. Sometimes we meet around the Lord's table and we see the emblems on the table. But do we really see the Lord? That's His desire for us. And if we are to be prepared for any effective ministry in God's great program, then we must have a similar experience. Ezekiel. First, he saw visions of God. Secondly, I'd like you to observe that in verse 3 he says, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest. He heard the voice of God. The word of the Lord came expressly, particularly, to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel tells us at the end of chapter 1, he says, when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. So he saw visions of God, and he heard the voice of God. In the Song of Solomon, the bride speaks of the voice of her beloved. And sometimes we sing, oh, I love to hear His voice. When last has He spoken to you personally? Have you ever heard Him calling you by name? Have you ever received a message from the Lord? Sometimes we come to a meeting and there may be lots of people gathered there. The chapel may be full, but the Lord may speak to one person especially. And sometimes we feel, well, that was just for me. If nobody else heard the voice of the Lord, I heard it. And He speaks to us, not only when we come to meeting, but I believe that every time we open this precious book, God wants to speak. God has something to communicate to our minds and to our hearts. He wants to talk to us. Oh, may God grant that we have listening ears and receptive hearts for His message. Ezekiel saw visions of God, and Ezekiel heard the voice of God. In Job chapter 33, we read that God speaketh once, yea, twice, but man perceiveth it not. Sometimes we are insensitive to His voice. Sometimes we disregard His message. Sometimes we fail to understand that God is speaking. And He has so many ways of speaking to us, of communicating what is in His heart to our hearts. He speaks to us through His word. He speaks to us sometimes as we turn on the radio. We listen to a message. He speaks to us as we come to the meeting. He speaks to us through a tract, through the written ministry of one of His servants. Sometimes He speaks to us through circumstances. Sometimes He speaks to us through affairs in the business or in the home. He has so many ways of talking to us. Through His blessed Holy Spirit, He tries to communicate with us. And I trust that we also will hear the voice of God. Ezekiel heard it. Notice also that He tells us at the end of verse 3, He says, the hand of the Lord was there upon him. So he felt the hand of God. Saw visions of God,
heard the voice of God, felt the hand of God. Have you ever had that experience? I was walking up King Street in Kingston, Jamaica, a few months ago, and a dear brother, with whom I am very well acquainted, was walking down the same street, but on the other side of the street. I saw him, he saw me, but he was so anxious to cross over that I saw him dodging through the traffic and coming over to where I was with an outstretched hand. And then we greeted each other very warmly. A warm handshake. And you know what he said to me? He says, "Brother, I just like to shake hands with the saints of God. I love to feel a good, hearty handshake from the saints of God." I didn't tell him this, but it came to mind afterwards. It's even better to feel the good hand of God upon our lives. Ezekiel felt it, you know. He said, "The hand of the Lord was there upon me." Right there, in captivity. While he is among the captives by the river Kabar, he says, "The hand of the Lord was there, right there." Amidst all the confusion, amidst all the heartache, amidst all the homesickness, amidst these disgruntled captives, the hand of the Lord was there upon me. What a blessed experience. And you know, the hand of the Lord is a hand of provision. It's a hand of protection. It's a hand of blessing. It's a hand of identification. It's a hand of healing. There's a gracious ministry in the blessed hand of the Lord. When our Lord was here on earth, during his earthly ministry, mothers brought their young children to him that he might touch them. You ever felt his hand as he touched you? Your heart, your life. If you get this experience, you can't be the same. And Ezekiel wasn't the same. He's being prepared of God for a wonderful sphere of service. So, he saw visions of God. He heard the voice of God. He felt the hand of God. And I want you to observe also that he tasted the good word of God. Because the Lord, in speaking to him, he said, "Ezekiel, open thy mouth and eat what I give thee. I have something for you. Something that is of greater value than even your necessary food. So you open your mouth and eat what I give you." Ezekiel looked. A hand was sent unto him. Lo, a roll of a book was therein. It was spread before him. It was written within and without. They were written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, the Lord said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak to the house of Israel." Here is the command. Eat this roll. It is followed by the commission. Go speak to the house of Israel. Some folk would like to go and speak before eating. But it's necessary to eat the roll before speaking the message. When you reverse the order, down there in Jamaica we say, you're putting the cart before the horse. You can't make any progress that way. The command is, eat the roll. And Ezekiel tasted the good word of God. And listen to what he says concerning that experience. He says, "It was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." What is sweeter than honey? David tells us in a little bit more descriptive language, David says concerning the same experience, he says that the word of God is
sweeter also than honey and
the honeycomb.
Have you experienced that?
If you didn't appreciate the Word of God,
if you didn't enjoy the things of God, if you didn't delight in feeding upon this precious book, I doubt that you'd be here tonight. Because when you come here on a Thursday evening, that's about all you get. But praise God, it's good for us. It's sweet to our taste. And Ezekiel enjoyed it. He ate the roll that was given to him. He was commanded to eat it prior to being commissioned to go speak to the house of Israel. Now, that's his preparation. He's prepared by seeing visions of God, hearing the voice of God, feeling the hand of God, tasting the good word of God. And when he had these precious experiences, the Lord commissions him. Says, now, go speak to the house of Israel. God gives him a particular job. He assigns to him a specific duty. And Ezekiel gets this great commission. It's not an easy task that God was giving him. You know, the Lord used 6 adjectives in describing the people to whom Ezekiel was being sent. And this is how the Lord describes them. He says, they are stiff-hearted. If you know what that means. He says, they are stubborn. He says, they are rebellious. He also said to Ezekiel, they are impudent. He tells Ezekiel, they are hard-hearted and they are stiff-necked. What a terrible set of people they were. I wonder what about the people in St. Louis? Maybe they're not very much better. But in spite of their impudence and their rebellion against the living God, the Lord says to Ezekiel, "Are you going to speak my word to them? And don't be afraid of them, you know. Don't be afraid of their faces. I have made your face hard against their faces, and your forehead hard against their forehead. So don't be scared of them. You go and speak my word to these people." And then God also says to him, "You know, I know they're not going to listen to what you have to say, but whether they hear you or they will not hear, you deliver the message, because you're a watchman to the house of Israel. And if the watchman sees the sword coming, and he fails to blow the trumpet and warn the people, then their blood will I require at your hands." And you know, the people of God, the saints of God today, have a similar responsibility. Oh, what a heavy responsibility it is. And if I am to speak the word of God with power, if I am to accomplish the mission that God has given to me, the particular assignment that he has given to me, then I'll have to feed upon his word. I'll have to derive from him courage and divine enablement. The Lord says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of them. You know, I was listening to a gospel program on the radio a few weeks ago, and I heard a servant of God say, in the course of his ministry, he said he discovered that 365 times in the Bible we have the word "fear not." He says, when I made that discovery, I shouted hallelujah, because I can cash in on one every day of the year. I can hear the Lord saying to me, "Fear not." Or if Ezekiel were timid and fearful,
when the Lord explained to him the type of people to whom he was to deliver the message, he would have thrown in the towel. But thank God, he was faithful in giving forth this message. Now, I do believe that the time has come when Christians of this era need to become more actively involved in God's great program of evangelism. There is a yawning gap between first century Christian example and 20th century Christian practice. A yawning gap between the two. Christians of a past era, they were known as world upsetters rather than preservers of the status quo. You see, we have become so sophisticated and so dignified in our Christian testimony that we fail in getting the message to where it is needed. But we can recover the distinction of being world upsetters if we will discard spectator neutrality. If we will abandon seats in the balcony and get right down into the arenas of action where the message of the cross is so urgently needed. Where is it needed? Not only in our gospel chapels, not only in our beautiful church buildings, but the message of the gospel. It's needed on the campus. It's needed in the office. It's needed in the factory. It's needed in the store. It's needed in the homes. And it's our business to take that message to the people who are perishing in their sins. I understand that in a beautiful little church building up there in Canada, across the main door of that edifice, they have a sign, one outside and one inside. Outside the front door, just across the lintel, were these words, "Come in and hear." On the inside, across the lintel, were these words, "Go out and tell." Come in and hear. What a responsibility we have after we hear. What a responsibility we have after God speaks to us. After we see visions of God. After we hear the voice of God. After we feel the gracious hand of God upon us. After we taste the good word of God. We go out and tell. We're commissioned. The Lord sends us. Have you heard Him talking to you? Has He sent you somewhere? I was riding on a bus on the island of Jamaica just a few months ago. Got on board this bus, paid my fare, and I was traveling into the city. Shortly after I took my seat, a young woman got up. She had a Bible in her hand and she started to preach. And I wondered, well, what's her doctrine like? And I listened carefully. And I have to acknowledge to you that I didn't agree in totality with all that she had to say. But I thank God that she was doing what needed to be done on that bus. She was talking to the driver and to the passengers. She was warning them to flee from the wrath to come. She was pointing them to the cross of Calvary
and to the man Christ Jesus,
who could save them from their sins.
And I praise God for those who have a similar exercise in their hearts to give forth this message
to a perishing world, because
it is
the only hope of this old world in which we live.
Now Ezekiel is commissioned. He's prepared and he's commissioned to this great task.
And as he goes forth, there's something I would like to share with you.
Concerning his ministry. Because the Lord came to him on one occasion. I think we have the account in the 24th chapter. The Lord says to him, now, Ezekiel, I'm going to take away your wife with a stroke. The desire of your eyes with a stroke. One stroke, and she'll be gone. And then God said a very strange thing to him. He says, don't let your tears run down and make no mourning for the dead. I don't want you to go into any long period of mourning and weeping and bereavement. I'd just like you to carry on with the work that I've entrusted to you. You're going to have heartache. You're going to have sorrow. You're going to have a most unpleasant experience. I'd like to continue steadfast in the job. So Ezekiel, he says to us, well, the Lord spoke to me in the morning, and in the evening my wife died. But I did that evening what he commanded me to do in the morning. I did exactly as God commanded me. And you know, it may be a hard thing, but God wants us to continue steadfast and to be unmovable, always abounding in his work. I don't know how it is here in St. Louis, but I know down there in Jamaica, we have a lot of professing believers who begin well, but they don't continue very well. They're not steadfast in the faith. On one occasion, and I was very discouraged in connection with our service for God and a particular problem that confronted us, creating much heartache, misunderstanding. And I felt very much as if, well, it's no use. We may as well give up. Or, as we sometimes say, throw in the towel, if you know that expression. A dear brother sent me a tract, which I've kept in my Bible for years. It's entitled, Don't Quit. And you know, there's a little exhortation right at the top. Ping up with some tack. But I've never done that. I've kept it right here in my Bible. Don't quit. I'd like to read it for you. It says, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a fellow fails by doubt when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow, you may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. But he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. So God calls you. God speaks to you. God commissions you. He assigns you to a specific ministry. He prepares you for it and assigns you to a specific ministry. Would they stick to it?
like dear Ezekiel of old. Whether the people appreciate it or not. Whether folk love you or hate you. Whether they will hear or forbear, you stick to it. Don't quit. Oh, may God help us to continue steadfast in the faith. Because soon, and very soon, Jesus Christ our Lord will return. And we want to hear from His lips, well done, you've been a good and a faithful servant. I wrote my wife this afternoon. So she'll soon get her first letter from her husband. And in the letter, I share this with you. I told her, I miss our baby girl almost as much as I miss my wife. Because, you know, our little girl, she loves to sing. She's not yet 4 years of age. But we sang tonight her favorite chorus. You know what that is? Coming Again. Oh, how she enjoys singing Coming Again. And any time anyone asks her to sing a chorus, Coming Again. It's a message to my own heart. And I trust a message to our heart too. The Savior will soon return. Some of the things that Ezekiel told us in this prophecy indicate that His coming is near at hand. Oh, may God help us to meet Him and greet Him with joy at His return. And to do that which He has commanded us to do. I think particularly and specifically in the area of evangelism, in the area of getting the message of the gospel out to places and to people who need it most. I trust that His word will be of some value to our hearts. And that there'll be a glad response in our hearts to the challenge of the Master as He prepares us and as He commissions us to His service. Shall we bow?